interrupting the current neo-Ukrainian climate changed, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM 533. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport, so get you behind the woodshed. Teach those guys they're not supposed to do what they're doing, and it's simple to figure it all out. I've been explaining on that. Just go to the black and white, find the duties and obligations, and confirm they've been done. Typically, they won't be. It's all fake authority, and we allow it. And if we understood what our Constitution really said, we'd find out if we could split that down again. Instead of them ganging up on us, we could start dividing and conquering the government and those that would support the government to defeat us all. One of the things that's starting to come around as we talked, and I haven't been talking too much about it. I think I've said way plenty. Doesn't mean I'll stop talking about it because it's still serious, is these kinds of things here. I'm not going to go on and on more than to identify that the news is coming out. We predicted it'd be a few years before we'd see sidelines or what we believe could be attached to the warp speed attack. Latin America nation declares emergency over rare disease. Peruvian authorities have reported a spike in cases of Guillain-Barré syndrome, which can cause temporary paralysis. It could do a whole lot worse than that. They are seeing an increase, a dramatic increase. There has been a significant rise in recent weeks that force us to take action as the state to protect the health and life of the people. And I will say that they're Johnny-come-lately. They didn't do what they were supposed to do with their communicable disease laws if they were really interested to protect the health and safety of the people. Let's put out the bottom of the article when you get there and you want to read it. It says right here, one little paragraph, the disease is often preceded by bacterial or viral infection or by vaccine administration or surgery. GBS occurs particularly frequently in Zika virus patients with the pathogen believed to be a trigger. Well, those are all genetically modified nonsense as well. But I think we're finding, as they try to point it out, Zika particularly, it's not that at all. I think we see the spike in the beginning of the article. The lead is telling us it's from vaccine administration. I doubt that they're going to point it out because they would have to admit they failed the people to do the most basic thing relative to their local communicable disease laws everywhere. Thing in the news here is a movie that came out for July 4th weekend. Don't know how much I want to talk about it. I talked a little bit about a condition that I found. My concern is on this movie called The Sound of Freedom. And together with the type of press that's on it, it's going to focus the tension other than where it should have. I'm seeing some talking about refocusing. But all the media blitz was international. The focus, it seems, on that, what seems to me to be responded to is like close the borders, oh, protect the borders, oh, let's go after some of these people, all international cartels. That's not happening. In fact, it's a joke. The media is complaining that it's a conspiracy theory. I've been told, I think everybody's been told, it was a true story. Be that as it may, my concern here is my study. And I have to again admit openly I failed. But I didn't fail in that I'm here to tell you about it. Because everybody that took the path I did is dead now. The FBI agent I found years later who took almost identical path and went beyond me to go track down where the runaways went is dead as well. So this is an interesting thing I've been watching and witnessing. My evidence was taken. That's, I think, the limit of what my danger was. And so I think I might have been left alone. Well, except for the little bit that they tangled me up with. But here is the follow-on media started to come out of The Sound of Freedom. North African nation jails dozens for human trafficking. A Libyan court has found dozens of people responsible for putting migrants in a dilapidated boat that sank on the way to Italy, and they go through and talk about it. Again, The Sound of Freedom is about children, but this starts the idea that there's these cartels, there's these people that are out there that are smuggling migrants, and then they pick and choose as they need. They pick away at all the little ones that are are there to pick away for lots of reasons. And I'm understanding that the gentleman that made the movie said they decided not to put in a lot of more information because it was just over the top for most people. And I can only guess that's the truth with what I was finding for myself. And my concern is, with all this international, I won't go too much deeper on this. Relative to this international, there's another story, mass abduction of children, which Zelensky is silent about. Where do Ukrainian children disappear in Europe? The international flair and promotion that came with this movie is pretty startling in my mind, that everybody thinks, and that's my danger here, everybody is thinking it's out there. And I don't care where you are, you're thinking it's out there. And my studies would show that that's the wrong direction to look. It's not that that's not happening. It's that it's been happening right in probably in your local hometown with all the instrumentalities of the state. How I found it was watching a judge on a video of a hearing over an abduction by the state of the Gaston child, the girl, and I noticed some severe anomalies in the way the judge was making decisions. And in investigating the judge on those decisions and those anomalies, it was like having to peel back an onion. And so this is my main concern. Foundation to Battle Injustice found exclusive evidence of trafficking disabled Ukrainian children in Spain. Through the Sound of Freedom, you'll start finding all these stories that's making headlines all of a sudden. And the detail that comes through these stories you can read about to see how part of the system works, why Zelensky wouldn't even be talking about it. He may not even know, actually, but I don't think that's the case with what they're involved in there and why lots of focus is in on that. There's a way to see what happens in other places, but what in this one story here that we're talking about, I'd like to read through a little short paragraph and show you who the instigator appears to be, what instance drives this from Ukraine to Spain in the second story. It's really not much different, but watch how I'm going to, what I saw in it that points me to return home, if you will. Don't look outside. It's happening inside. The Corpora de Ley organization and Miguel Manelli Sanchez Pardo kept their promise and provided the children from the Ukraine that was moved over into Spain with everything they needed until 2 months later. Police Commissioner Patricia Rivas, together with the American NGO Angels, sent the Spanish Social Services a statement demanding the transfer of minors to a state-run orphanage. According to opinion on the human rights activists of the Foundation to Battle Injustice, this indicates that the interference of the United States in the process of illegal transportation, placement, and trafficking of children. The policewoman complained about the alleged mistreatment of the children and demanded that the state deprive Elena, the guardian of these children that came from Ukraine. They separated that. They vilified her. The official guardianship sent Elena and send the children to the children's center located in another city. And so the process goes. I just want to point out there's evidence from the United States influencing the trafficking of kids and pointing me to tell you if they're going to do it out there, they're doing it to you in home. My research shows that's exactly the truth. Children services is not much different than adult services in the same street language. And the term runaway is a euphemism. You're going to see fronts, the good foster family shown to you, when behind the scenes is such terrible things that are going on. And so I would ask us not that it's not important, not if you feel compelled to do international help, but please find time to do some internal looking. I haven't been in touch with all that, haven't seen it for over a decade now, a decade and a half. I don't know what's happened. I surely doubt that they've made any adjustments other than to cover up more. So my concern with this movie, Sound of Freedom, and I have to say I did not watch it. I do not want to watch it anymore like that. It's been a long time since I've had to deal with it, and I didn't deal with it. It's out here. You're seeing it now. There's a lot of energy into it. I encourage that, but don't forget, it's not just out there. It's happening inside the United States. It's happening in all the so-called rule on democracy I can just reiterate, I watched a judge cause the theft of a child from a mother and a father that were more deserving than the state. And there's a whole lot behind that. Anyway, I'm encouraged a bit on what I see. I'm disappointed on the promotion of the international focus. It's happening internal to it's inside your system. What's also inside the system, it's abhorrent, is a U.S. House rejects NDAA amendments to decrease Ukrainian military aid. The same country we're watching children because of the strife. You watch migration is used as a vehicle to take children. You're hearing in the United States hundreds of kids missing, then the government doesn't want to tell you where they're at. They'll cover it underneath the child protective rights. Remember, child of rights starts as it's a UN organized cartel, no different than the WHO, to broker whomever they're going to broker as a product. And it gets fairly horrendous. But here we have the United States supporting the Ukraine position by not decreasing any UK military aid is not a sign. Interesting story about who's involved in trying to reduce the amount and by how much, and trying to stop the jets and all, to stop what's going on over there in the Ukraine. I guess it's Ukraine. You don't use the anymore. And then we hear the local news to the ammunition going over there. And I want to recall us before I get there to down the road here on the tabs. And remember what Russia said. It's not about a war to them. It's an operation to remove and denazify and demilitarize. So let's keep that in mind as we start looking at what's going on. The United States is part and parcel to a destruction of people as they're thrown in, conscripted in from the street, dragged in, beat up, and taken in and thrown on the front for meat products, I guess, because they're just ground to nothing. That we're also hearing that the part of this potential to send the munitions is these cluster bombs. I notice a lot of people talking about it like they're a big deal or that they're something. Understand they're not. There's nothing that they're going to do over there. It's not that they're not even, they're giving old used munitions. They aren't giving, the United States is not giving of its last munition. These are reserves and old stores that they're dumping to have people killed over in Ukraine. And in the turmoil, kids are being stolen on top of it. Brought on to places like Spain and all that kind of thing. And moved on and on. And that's not the only spot. But the story here now, he's screwed, it says, and not spelled O-O-D. Biden official tells Hirsch cluster bombs have zero chance of helping Ukraine. That's not even a question. The question that seems to be, people are saying, oh, the United States is giving up its all its ammunition. It's not. It has, I think, 3 million shells where I read a search. This has nothing to do with a real war. This has nothing to do with the United States being diminished in its ability to fight and or any of the other. This may be about diminishing the European Union's ability to fight and the lack of production. But again, this is not a war. If people call it a proxy war, it's not. The war was the economic war, and we lost that. The opening salvo was we lost when we went up against Russia, as they had been preparing for that and understood what they had to do, like I keep suggesting to you, become the sovereign and start removing yourself from all the fiat system and its speculation and all that. But he's screwed, says this Biden official. And these munitions will not help them. These munitions will not deplete the American stocks. These are reserves. And they are dangerous to people. So not only do they want to kill and maim kids and civilians over in Ukraine, they don't really intend to win the war. Because this is just not going to help these munitions. It's right. Russia has them too. They're not using them, though we're told that they do. They don't have to use them. West blamed for Ukraine's counteroffensive shortcomings. And these are going to be two stories, two tabs that come somewhat together. When I'm going to bring up the next one in U.S. and Europe, if efforts to ramp up military production have been undermined by national protectionism, misjudgment, and indecisiveness, a report has concluded. All these reports seem to be just a theater in my mind. there's nothing that has engaged. Well, let me put it a different way. If what we engage as a proxy war in Ukraine is the best we can do, the United States better, the military just better stand down completely. I'm embarrassed on top of it. When the government went, the United States government went up against a peer who has got a different mission than war, we lost it. Now, we can't win that, despite all that what we're seeing and all we're hearing. So, West is being blamed for Ukraine's counteroffensive shortcomings. Is now the world focusing in on these missteps they're going to be stated, but they're not actually. The U.S. Europeans depleted their weapons stockpile fighting Russia in Ukraine. There's a story that one can keep putting out. The United States has not depleted its munitions from the reports I've seen. What we're watching is all the old, dilapidated things that needed to be dispensed somewhere. Ukraine's the dumping spot. It's the big garbage pit. And they don't care if they put these cluster munitions out there and in 20 years they blow off some kid's leg. Well, they'll just be put in the state orphanage, right? If you kind of get how this starts to work, what does BlackRock care about all that? Those kids are in the way anyway. This whole thing relative to the stocks and munitions, I want you to think about something. When a country goes to war, do you think they go to war without enough ammunition or the capacity? That we're already hearing, it's not even 2 years in of this, they call it a war, it's not a proxy war. It's a dumping ground, it's a killing field. A United States planned killing field to deplete everything, economies now, you see. And so this theme comes out about depleting weapon stockpiles. Russia knows different. And the reason why this is not working is because it's not a real war. It's not a proxy war. It was an economic war, and we've lost it at this point. We've lost it in the sense that the governments that are now seeing the threat of the U.S. dollar being used in a political nature are running. They're doing what all intelligent people would do. This is all showtime. It's a geopolitical showtime. The gaming that is going on is just as badly as what you see on the ground over there. This economic destruction, these desired economic outcomes are coming right back in the face of the West. And I'm hard pressed to say that that's not a plan either, but the people of the United States certainly aren't going to like it as it moves along. As the faux pas keep coming from the government, they know, they're telling us exactly, and they don't even understand. They claim to not understand that they're making these misstatements that are not misstatements. I believe they actually talk about this stuff in the background, and it comes out. They don't know how to filter it. We're not that intelligent. Like jab harm or something. U.S. State Department trips over Ukraine failure. Ukraine failure. They call it. The Foggy Bottom spokesman made a Freudian slip, not once but twice, answering the first question. Answering your first question, we believe the war has been a strategic failure for Ukraine. When journalists covering the State Department clamored that he surely meant for Russia, Miller did it again. Excuse me, strategic failure for Ukraine. Thank you for the correction, he went on. This is understood to be a failure. It's been planned to be, it was never supposed to survive. It was never supposed to work. We're not looking at something real. It's theater, it's showtime. They're stating exactly what's going on, and so we have what? We have the House giving more money to spend over there. And the focus of, let's say, a film like The Sound of Freedom, on the one hand, and then the story following about where the children of Ukraine go, showing us that there's trafficking going on. It's trafficking of the kids there. It's trafficking of the ammunition, of the munitions. They're finding these munitions, as they said they would plan in places like where ISIS is, where the United States needs them to harass other countries. We're finding ways that the regular so-called legitimate economics, the financiers, are able to invest in that place. This is just a big show, and there's lots of so-called funds being spent to continue the show. U.S. dumping cluster bombs in Ukraine to avoid having to dispose them at home. Well, that's interesting. This is not about a war. U.S. National Security Spokesman John Kirby conceded the dangers to civilians posed by delivery of cluster munitions to Ukraine, but stressed that Kiev needs the controversial weapons to stay in the fight. I don't know if you've looked at the real, look around the background of all the news. It's not much of a fight. So they're fighting. People are dying. There's lots of stuff being destroyed. But all this time, Russia has been doing fairly well. And it's turning out this, I might get to the tabs about Prigozhin. It's almost as if he's been a ghost. Interesting, the gameplay going on this. I've been really intrigued at the parts that I can kind of look at a little bit. Don't have the time anymore because of the attack that I'm under. But looking at this thing, watching what they're doing elsewhere, because I know they're doing it at home, no different than looking out and seeing what they do with the kids. We see the United States involved even in Spain to redirect to state-run orphanages, because that's the internal system, the same way they do here in the States. Looking at all that, the carnival mirror of the world, watching how we're being destroyed from inside our country, it's the same. Just I don't see how it's not the same anywhere else. They're still being in the fight. It's all a promotion. It's all a stage. They know that Ukraine's a failure. It was never been made to be something yet. They're going to give almost I don't even know if they can account for it. Another bunch of money to send to whatever, maybe make the military-industrial complex richer, maybe in work through these inside things to traffic people, maybe all kinds of these things, giving incentives to do so. Making these cluster bomb decisions is now, we see, is then far worse under the excuse that they're using if Russia were to win. As they say in here, if Russia were to win, it would be worse that they did that. It is not this whole thing now just a bad, bad decision because Russia is going to win. It's there, and these things only will maim innocent people and kill the fodder called a Ukrainian soldier. So, and on top of this, it's been shown that the Ukraine has been using them already, these munitions like this. It's just a terrible decision one way or the other. But it just struck me that, yeah, they go maim a bunch of kids, they end up in the state orphanages, and off they go into the trafficking scene. Pretty cool. Isn't that cool how they set that up? People die for no good reason on a plan that can't work. Where your adversary's not after a war, they're after cleaning up your mess. We finally get someone talking about the organization that's pushing this, NATO, NATO. NATO is a malicious poison, former Australian PM says. Paul Keating has argued that the military bloc should remain confined to Europe and the Atlantic and not try to expand to Asia. A malicious poison. What I find fascinating about after this story, Australia goes ahead and helps Ukraine. So I don't know what we're supposed to really come to terms with that. It's just a killing field over there. It's being used for some other thing. When I'm looking in the world and watching the economy, I think that war has been lost. And so we continue this charade because it's starting to come this economic failure is coming home to roost. But NATO has no place in Asia and should stick to its original focus, that is the security of the transatlantic region, former Australian Prime Minister Paul Keating has argued. The Labour politician, who served in the office from 1991 to 1996, also warned against attempts to circumscribe China. I think these are all fairly straightforward observations. Absolutely. The thing is that I noticed in this, and if you'll remember, the focus for NATO was to stop the Soviet Union, and I would agree with him that NATO should stick to its original focus, which would mean that it should fold because the Soviet Union no longer exists. But that's not what NATO's about now either. It's about being a big, giant boot in the world to go step on people, and he's correct. China is not going to put up with it. A lot of people are not going to put up with it. The more that this happens here, the more the other nations will pull away, and I almost wonder if that's not the plan as we kind of get through here and we get into the to another couple points. Stoltenberg, no point in discussing Ukraine's NATO membership if Kiev loses the conflict. You think? If it loses the conflict? No, it's lost. It was never a state to begin with, actually, if you listened behind Wishart or did some research on your own. Says there's no point in discussing Ukraine's NATO membership if Kiev did not prevail in the ongoing conflict, he says. And why is that? It doesn't take a genius to listen. Just listen to what he's talking about. But Russia's finishing their job. It was said that they were not going to stop after what? After the United States and the West interfered with the peace agreement that they had signed. And Russia came up right after that, and Putin said they have thrown this into the dustbin. This peace deal was thrown into the dustbin of history. They're not stopping. They're going to finish the job they started. There's no choice to, no reason to agree with the West at all. It can't, it's not honorable. It doesn't hold to its word. We're in an open conflict that is not really in a war at all. It's kind of interesting. Russia particularly looks at, and Putin, if I understand correctly, is a student of international laws himself. But he stays really strict, it seems, to a lot of those principles. And so I don't understand what the question is from a lot of people, why the United States government would spend more money in a place that they already are not going to enter. They're not going to let Ukraine into NATO. They're using it as a killing field. They're using it as a dumping field. And they have no plan. And it was never about that anyway. Because I don't know about you, but I don't know of any army that actually enters into a war without enough bullets. It's just kind of shocking that we kind of believe that. I don't understand how we can fall into believing that the adversary's troops are real when they appear to be possibly no different than a corporate structure that is just made up. We're dealing in ghosts. Kremlin says Putin held a meeting with Wagner Group commanders. This story intrigued me as we're told it was a mutiny. This story intrigued me to no end about how this was playing out. No, I didn't stay up all night the first night that it happened. I took some observations and realized this was a setup of some sort, and I went to bed. Didn't know how it was going to play out, don't have enough information to really know all that, but you watched how that came down. And after all, this was this mutiny that happened. Putin's actually talking with the commanders of this group. Today, they're saying that group doesn't even legally exist. You're fighting a ghost. And that's like next level gameplay. And yet this ghost is all over the world, doing all kinds of things in a private nature. It's another form of how governments fight wars, through mercenary groups, private military corps. But Putin went back and talked to that Wagner group, the commanders. Quite impressive, their dedication to Russia. What they expect, what that was about, what they were telling Putin about the limits of their own military, I don't think is going to be detrimental to them at all. Putin handled that very well, although maybe not perfectly. I don't think he needed to say what some of the things that he said, but he never blamed those Prigozhin and those folks either. It's an interesting story to watch. It's still going to play out. Those corps are now going over to Belarus. That's where those nuclear weapons, tactical weapons just went, don't you know? So this was an interesting thing. The United States, one of the issues here that when that thing supposedly came down to disrupt Russia, the United States said they knew what was going on. They didn't take advantage. Ukraine didn't take advantage. Meaning it's a lie that they knew, or they didn't know what to do, or it really wasn't anything at all. Or they got caught flat-footed, which maybe isn't meaningful anyway, because it's really not a war. But there was no advantage taken if this is a war. There's so many side stories, so many stories on this, so many ways this thing can go. Very interesting, all the people that were supposed to be mutiny against Russia are actually being worked through and reassigned and repositioned and given the statuses, exalted statuses of some sort, they're very well regarded for the fighting force that they are. And so we have a very integrated machine working. Of course, all these systems may have faults. But when we look at the lunacy coming out of NATO, out of the United States government, or the money that's being dumped in that place, against what I see over in Russia, I'm, again, embarrassed. I'm embarrassed that we even think as a nation we had the right, first of all, and secondly, that we even have a voice to have. We have a say that we would characterize as some real attempt to do some real justice if Ukraine was being unjustly dealt with. The United States caused the first injustice. It defeated the very democratic principles that it purports to support. In fact, it seems that Russia was just supporting a bunch of people in Ukraine that were Russian, speak Russian, the culture of Russia, that were having their rights destroyed. So the dustbin of history is going to be the telltale call of why the United States will lose. Russia will not stop. And we are not sending and not capable, and we're probably planning not to be capable of actually supporting a rump state anyway. It's a really quite disgusting. Wagner forces, including Prigozhin, now fully integrated into the Russians' military. The private military corps, and I guess this is what we want to look at in the world and how these things work, was now the Putin's found a potential problem with the private military corps not having a legal status. And you may want to look in the United States about that. It's like the non-person type of issue. Well, they're now being given a status. That's what some of this uproar was about. They were given a choice. They were also given a choice to go some places if they wanted to by Putin for the mutineers they were supposed to be, the treasonous bastages that they were. None of that turned coming to play. Fascinating. On July 10th, two highly reliable news sources, South Front and the Intel Drop, published simultaneous identical stories, news reports indicating the commander-in-chief of Russia's armed forces, President Vladimir Putin, holds no grudge against either Prigozhin or the relatively few Wagner fighters who, on July 23rd, followed him into the mutiny against Russia's generals, and that all of the former Wagner organization will strictly follow the orders of the Russian general staff, the very staff Prigozhin was complaining about. Very once. So, interesting. Anyway, I don't know what more to say. I was going to do a report on this. There's so much to talk about, so many deep places that we could go that would expose certain things that are going on. And I think it's valuable to watch it at this point as we can. I'll try to garner from it what we can and watch that there's something going on that the United States government does not, I don't think it has ever displayed at all in what it does and how it does it. And I don't know more than what I can find. Maybe we do. Maybe we're these secret elite type forces that can do all, but I don't see it evidencing itself over there in Ukraine for sure. In fact, a lot of the so-called mercenaries that are American are dying just like the rest of them. In fact, they're being put in places now to die. Is kind of interesting as well to me. That's your government. It's your United States government. So, there's a real shift where a lot of money's going in the United States. Some representatives said, let's cut down the bills. The government, the rest of the Congress has said, no, we're not going to cut it down. We're going to shove more money over there, and we're going to promote all the heinous things that we hear coming out of the news, like the kids. The United States fosters and encourages that. My report, my study, my findings, my interviews showed it's internal to the United States. It's like a well-oiled machine. It's so well-oiled, you don't see it. I told you, just look at some of the news. You'll never see agency officials or judges or many of any involved in all those arrests that they'll tell you. It's all the low-hanging fruit. And that gives them another place to play. You'll see that in these new international type of things. It's just the low-hanging fruit that gets outed. And I don't know about Mel Gibson, what his understanding is all this is. I would hope that he was saying, because he says, or the director or whoever the actor was saying that there's just too much that's too heinous to show at one time. I'm hoping maybe that's a movie for a future day. Not the heinousness, but that it's closer to home than you actually think. And that's, that's the haunting thing for me. I see everybody looking in other directions than really where we should be looking. And I see very, very few being able to put together any kind of a positive, effectual response. And that's been my complaint about us as people generally in lots of subject matter areas. But, you know, in particular for the kids, you know, they should at least have an innocent growing up and then watch the world as we had to watch the world and find out how maybe heinous it really is generally. Putin issues warning about U.S. banking system. So I keep saying that it wasn't a proxy war. This is a theater in Ukraine. It's real. People are dying, but it's not the point. And we keep coming back to the same stories, which keep driving this thing into the future they want, the globalist future they want. And so we have now a set of stories here coming, this news, to point this out. And I said, watch the sovereign, how they're working and what they're going to do. And we should, as if we feel we're sovereign in our as people, we need to start mimicking what the nation's sovereign does. And then I said, but be careful, because they're down a track to bring on the technocratic future. Putin issues warning about U.S. banking system. Negative trends are mounting in the American financial sector. So he's telegraphing for us what we have been hearing. They're watching it. He's now predicting it. I don't know, again, don't know the propaganda that's going on here, but I don't think it's untrue. I don't find necessarily Putin to be untrue, but I don't understand. I'm not sure that people fully understand what he's saying and what he's actually, his focus and what it's on. I see people imposing their thought about what he thinks, what they think he is doing or what Russia needs. And that's what I think Putin is responding to, what Russia needs. But Russia, to me, is a change agent. So it's not like if you hear me think that I'm bringing him up and supporting him on a pedestal, say, look, we go that way. No, be very careful. This is a very dangerous gentleman relative to this split. The Russian president had earlier stated that the country's economy was successful, notwithstanding outside pressure, warning that Western sanctions would have a boomerang effect. What did I say immediately when they started talking sanctions and the stupidity that came out? I said, my analogy was spinning into a hurricane. So he comes up with the boomerang effect. And isn't that exactly what's going on? The pressure from the outside, when he prepared his nation, allowed him to withstand these conditions. And everywhere I've looked, they had trouble, like anything in a transition, but they're not being defeated. They're actually getting stronger. I'm understanding, I think the cost of living is starting to stay about the same already, but their wages are starting to come up for the people over there. He's giving us the warning relative to the banking system, and I think we need to pay attention. He's talking about the failures and pressures on the American financial sector. Now, that's almost too late. In a way, we saw that coming. We saw these problems that are happening. Yellen is not doing a bunch of good things anyway. They don't know what they're doing. We heard that from the Fed. I think Jerome Powell told us that. We don't really know what we're doing. We're just trying a little here and a little bit there. And then remember, they're all in a year and a half to 2-year delay, so they have to watch the problem on what they're doing. The boomerang effect is nothing more than what I said, spitting into the wind. You're not going to go against an adversary that's prepared. And so they're prepared. They're doing well enough. The markets are not. And then what did I say you do with the sovereign? You watch what the sovereigns do. And remember, as we move into the new world technocracy, the masters will be those that hold the token for the serf. We're moving from, because of COVID, as I broke away last week, COVID accelerated going cashless. And so what the banks are now going, the central banks are now going to gold. Gold rush, sanction fears push investors to dump Western holdings. So now we start to see the transition. We're talking about the central banks now relative to Putin talking about the American banking financial sector. Unparalleled sanctions on Russia again. Boomerang effect, as Putin would describe it, spinning into a hurricane, as I described it. The unparalleled sanctions on Russia and the blocks imposed on its central banking reserves, stiffening trade restrictions on China, cutting off Russia's banking system from SWIFT, SWIFT, and President Biden's economic policies, Bidenomic, I deemed feeblenomics, have reportedly heralded a rethink among concerned governments to de-dollarize. Consequently, a falling demand for dollars in international trade and settlements have been observed despite the U.S. confronting substantial budget shortfalls that need funding. The bearish trend of financial markets of the past year has likewise resulted in considerable losses from governments and fund managers. This has prompted a thorough reassessment of their strategies, and there are strong indications that geopolitical rivalry and soaring inflation will persist for the foreseeable future. So this is for us. It's not for Russia. They're moving to gold. I would hope you would consider, if you could, to do the same thing. I would just say, if you can't get to specie, it's silver or gold. For the little guy, the little man in the street, the woman in the street, silver can be worked as a commodity to trade. And while they're messing around, remember that gold and silver is a store of value. You're not going to make a profit necessarily. Its buying power relative to other commodities is relatively stable. That's why it's good for people. Let the speculators speculate. They said there is a bearish trend in financial markets over the past year for considerable losses for government and fund managers. There's a big reassessment going on because of this shift. And I've been talking about a little bit I can, or just in talking, to explain that's the war. We're losing. The United States has lost it. And really, simply, they politicized the money that they had privilege to put everywhere in the world. It caused it to actually be able to control countries. And when they politicized it, people said that's too high a price to pay. Our actual sovereignty has now been destroyed if we continue. But we need alternatives. And I've been asking you to find alternatives. But where does this all go? Those banks, those central banks, the big funds that are out there, wealth funds that are out there, this move and this shift that Putin is declaring has also been forecast. I've been talking about it through the broadcast over the last year, well, a lot longer, but I mean more specific to these things. And it's moving into another reassessment that we've been hearing that these wealth funds are doing relative to those ESGs. A lot of reassessment about the future and where people are going to have to position themselves. But Putin is speaking about this problem. They're now moving out of the monopole, if you will, the hegemon of the United States dollar. They're seeking a place where they can go that's not politically controlled. And then we see this story, China and Russia should lead global governance reform. And this is what I've been telling you is the danger. This is where we split from the sovereign as a people looking on to see what a sovereign does and say, that split, that two countries should lead global governance, not government, which couldn't exist in an individual country and state anyway, but this is a governance, that they should lead it, is the declaring of the imposition of the sustainable development future that they want. Two countries are ready to work to create a prosperous, stable, fair, and just world, Beijing's leader has said. What is a prosperous? It is a shared responsibility. Just go to A2030 on this one. You'll be, or the study, the reports I was doing, explaining it, reading A2030 to show you what this was about. You get down three quarters of the way through, you're in debt. You're a people in debt, and you're in debt to this nonsense, this insanity called sustainable development, where you are the cause of the problem that they seek to eliminate. The stable and fair and just, by whose standard? Under governance. Understand, that's administrative. It's not government. You don't have property. You're happy. You're told what to do. You have no claim you can make. and your behavior has to be consistent with those that feed you, together with the ESGs. Chinese President Xi Jinping hosted a top Russian senator, Valentina Matvienko, for talks in Beijing on Monday. The high-profile negotiations revolved around strengthening ties between the two nations as well as their joint multinational projects. Again, this is a big deal going on here. You don't see that going on too much in the United States anymore. It used to. And they are very set on bringing forth global governance. As I've been telling you, what's coming, Moscow and Beijing should, quote, lead the correct direction of global governance reform. So it's going to, what you see today is being reformed by these countries, or being claimed to be able to be, underlining that the development of bilateral ties has become a strategic choice made by both countries based on their own national and people's fundamental interests. Who's deciding? Not the people, I can tell you. Xi added that the importance of developing ties within such multinational groups as the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, SCO, and BRICS. Well, you're going to be Shanghai'd, all right, but you see BRICS being mentioned. This is the telegraphing of the new system that I've talked to you about before. The BIS is still involved. The IMF is still involved. The World Bank is still involved. It's just the SDR has now become the international currency. It's not a money like we know. The domestic currency will be changed. It's going to be changed to your FedNow. That's not even true either. The FedNow is the wholesale side. They will go to your token citizenship. You'll have direct connection to a third-party Fed, and they will dictate through probably the BIS connection and the ESG connection the liabilities to you. And if you don't spend their token correctly, you will be sanctioned for that. Not to do something, probably not to do something, until you do something that they say. That is just by their determination. We see BRICS connected under global governance right here, and this is where the future is going. Where I want to point out, even though I see Putin doing some interesting good things within the law, with trying to do things that are right for Russia, he is the split happens here, where they're actually moving to this digital future. And it comes underneath governance, not government. In other words, whoever gets involved and supports it is thereby your agreement, because you're getting some advantage. Essentially, you won't be cancel cultured the way it would work out. So prosperity underneath this situation is shared obligations to Gaia through diminishment. And don't forget that, okay, because this is a green religion, and they worship Gaia, this earth personified. And that's what all these folks are doing. I sometimes wonder, they say they're so like intelligent. Are they? If they are, we're in some real trouble, because they know what they're doing. I can tell you that I know they know what they're doing. But if they're not, they've been hornswoggled like the rest of us. And that's pretty fascinating in my mind. And so what we have is this switching going on, and we see the United States, it has no single voice, it has no character, has no bearing anymore in the world. And we see that represented behind the scenes. I would say the spokesperson in the White House was saying, oh, Ukraine, is a failure. And when he's asked, well, you think Russia, no, Ukraine, yeah, you're right, Ukraine's a failure. Same speech. This is a different type of display. Same weakness is displayed here. And it was picked up immediately. I'm not the only one, but I just wanted to point out the banking system, the global monetary system is under shift. And the United States is a weakened spirit in that. And I have to think it's been planned that way. I predicted that it would be planned. I'm not the money guy that way to know like the ins and outs of all that type of a thing. I could see it coming. They have to neutralize these powers on the governance part. All the powers are neutralized. So they had to get rid of this as well. But the disgusting display of weakness, Yellen savaged for bowing to China's vice premier. These folks don't even read protocols. It used to be a big deal, international diplomacy and all that. The United States has lost it. But it's pretty disgusting in a way. She keeps bowing and bowing like some bobblehead doll supposed to talk to her peer over there in China. And even the helper there, the interpreter, was running behind her to say, no, you don't have to do that. Bowing and shaking this guy's hand. What is the purpose for that? Why are they coming with a bended knee for anything? is pretty disgusting, just generally. Why aren't you anyway equals that you have to bow? And you saw Anthony Blink, an idiot, bent over a partial angle, can't even stand straight up to shake somebody's hand. What is this? What's going on behind the scenes? I don't know what it is. I'm just saying, my question is, what's going on behind the scenes that they know that the United States is really weakened? The United States Secretary Treasury Yellen made the unusual gesture of bowing to a Chinese official during her visit to Beijing on Saturday. Footage shows her walking up to Vice Premier He Lifeng, her Chinese counterpart, and bowing several times while shaking his hand enthusiastically. The other insult was that she did it more than once without him responding. And so, is this all also a mockery? Is my thought on this? We have just, as the United States, some entity of character, we've lost it. We've absolutely lost it. It's just an embarrassment. I can't get away from that word, embarrassment. The cash is king, and we're moving into, you're watching the future move into where your token citizenship, the cash would be king, but your token is a serfdom. And so we start to see how other parts of the world, relative to this failure, this weakness, start to come on, and how it starts to transfer. And I guess I keep reading this and say, I hope this is interesting to watch, not just watch, but start taking in, and somehow for you applying it, because I think that we've never seen some of this stuff happening. We're witnessing some interesting things in the world that I don't think has been witnessed maybe ever. And I can't say that for sure, because historically we have some pretty big things happening relative to monetary systems and things as well. But I mean, long time ago. But Goldman Sachs predicts when India will overtake U.S. in economic rating rankings. Now, this is going to be quite a few years in the future, but not so long, because time moves quick. Time flies. It's that buzzing I'm finding in my head. The time flies, but India is now participating in a way that their population is distancing all countries, and their production capacity is building. A lot of companies are not going there. All these corporations go for the bucks. Goldman Sachs will predict that the economic rankings as of these third, we would call them third world democracies, are going to now surpass us. Well, they're also going to be in BRICS. Will they surpass the governance? I don't think so. And this is our other target for anybody in the world that wants to be free. We have to really be careful. It may be sounding like a good thing, and bringing up a people is pretty nice. They get to live better and all that. But when you watch the servitudes come on, your life becomes all controlled, and they have the technology to do that to those many people. We have to be a little bit more forward-thinking and more cognizant of what the dangers are. India will surpass the United States to become the world's second largest economy by 2075 here. Goldman Sachs has predicted, citing capital investments and favorable demographics. The country is currently the world's fifth largest economy behind the U.S., China, Japan, and Germany. And Japan and Germany are going to tank probably by next year. And the United States is going to third, I think, quickly here as well. So watch, and this is going to change the power, somewhat of the power structure. Again, we're not saying that the dollar dominance goes away. We're saying that people are stopping using the dollar, and they're going into more utility for what they need, and that takes away the demand of the West or the United States. Now, we see the India coming up in technological prowess, if you will, and right now I think this is going to be questionable. I've noticed, like I said, when China took on manufacturing, there was such a bad quality. They've come a long way here quickly, but still it takes a while for a nation to come up to speed. India's Tata is set to become the first local iPhone maker as Taiwanese company exits. These stories are impressively important of what the transitions are doing. And Taiwanese, also, you watch the theater around that, United States and China, while the United States talks out both sides of its mouth and the back of its head relative to the one state thing, but protecting Taiwan, giving it more ammunition, more missiles. Now, this is, again, just a theater. The future is going to mold the weak, and we are sitting in a weak position in the United States, and we are getting weaker And I can't believe it's not by plan on one hand, and I can't believe after watching how people are so ignorant or maybe stupid that maybe that's part of it too. And they just, all the stupidity rose to the top, and we're just so fortunate, folks, to have to witness that, and hopefully we survive it. The country's largest conglomerate is close to taking over an assembly unit for Apple devices. Tata, India's largest and oldest conglomerate, is close to finalizing a deal that will make it the first Indian company to assemble Apple iPhones. Bloomberg has reported, citing sources, under the agreement, which would be sealed in August, Tata will acquire a factory owned in Taiwanese-based Wistron that assembles the devices in the southern Indian state of Karnataka. So we're watching the not just the monetary, the fiscal shift into BRICS. We're watching those countries that are there taking on manufacturing capacity. And that's, again, going to shift further and further. What the United States thought is a manufacturing center, it's going to be shifting further and farther away. Where actually, I said long, long ago, since the 80s, I didn't understand why we got rid of our chip manufacturing. You're watching that today becoming a big issue. The worst issue that I don't cover today, because there's so much, is the underlying rare earths that China just shut off, that you have to have if you're going to have an advanced technology. The gallium and the germanium, I think it was, just shut it off. So now the United States military has now put out a special critical minerals order in order to cause reserves of those minerals. But what the sources are very, very thin. China has been working for decades to collect up around the world, collect those all up. And so we're going to, again, if we continue as Americans in the normal set of things into the new future that set up the table that set for us, the coin, the digital realm, even there you're going to have to do find an alternative. And I think we may have just broken the ice a bit on that as we watch the world shift, the manufacturing shift, the monetary systems shift, the form of the monetary system shift, and we now get into digital currency, that thing they want to track in you, the thing that requires a phone. Remember, it's going to take electronics to do that. What happens when you can't get your galenium, your gallium for your chips, for your phone in the future? Now how are you going to make a living and be tracked by the government? Might be a good thing in a way. We may have to actually go back to silver and gold. Well, that's going to be rough. We find, though, that this cryptocurrency, I've been super critical of it. For the most part, there's a small window that I've been saying, if it can be privatized and decentralized, possibly, where you don't really know, you just use it as a medium of exchange, and that's simple. I was saying when I first saw the Securities and Exchange Commission attacking these cryptocurrency exchanges, and I said, you heard me say, they're going to have to step up, spend the money to fight the SEC to define ahead of time that what is a security and what is not. Well, they didn't really go that way, and they started watching companies getting taken down by the SEC. Well, there's just now a new breaking story here where someone finally did it, and now we're going to just now start to see the division of what may constitute something that the government can regulate and something that it cannot. And we got its first break and glimpse here in the case that Ripple Labs notches landmark win in SEC case over XRP cryptocurrency. And this is a very interesting, this is what I was saying has to happen. They're going to have to work this thing out so that, and the reason why they have to do this, because if we are going to have a digital crypto access developed for people, it's going to have to be private. It has to be an independent alternative that we don't have to rely on FedNow or whatever they call it, or your Apple coin or any of that stuff, because that's all going to be tied into the system. Ripple Labs Incorporated did not violate federal securities laws by selling its XRP token on public exchanges. A U.S. judge ruled on Thursday, a landmark legal victory for a cryptocurrency industry that sent the value of XRP soaring. And so this is the thing about certainty. And I'm going to have to caution us again. This is a preliminary discussion that may or may not go on up to the Supreme Court, and then a decision will be made. This judge had her reasons for it. It applies a standard the Supreme Court has already used in a particular way, and this case is very fact-specific. It did say that it was not a security in one aspect, but where it was traded to invest systems, financial system investors, it was a security. And so this is an interim decision made within a case where Ripple is under the gun by SEC. I was suggesting that all these crypto exchanges needed to work with the SEC, go to court before they got themselves in trouble, and fight and make that definitive line when a cryptocurrency is a security when it's not. And then also then go after when it's not a commodity. Because that's the next thing they're trying to do. And this case talks about that. So for those of you in crypto, I was encouraged a bit to see they finally are going to get to a point where we at least have a little bit of a brighter line for you guys on the private side. This is not going to be within the Fed coin type system. This is not going to be within a governmental digital coin system. This is for the private people that are in public venues. And so, again, it's going to be incredibly important to get this definitively decided and so that everybody has a nice clear line. And then the people are going to have, again, I don't think it's more valuable. I think it's just a tool of this digital currency, but we certainly cannot be tracked and traced because of it, simply because we want to ship value somewhere. And I totally abhor the imposition of we're guilty until proven innocent, because out there might be what? Trafficking? What the government itself does? In kids? In porn? In drugs? In money laundering? All the stuff that all the boogeymen. The Fed court rules Ripple's XRP token that can be treated as securities sometimes. And so this is what I wanted to point out here. The judge used what they call the Howey test. You can read about it if you're interested. You really should be interested a bit on how this is. Like I said, I'm not totally against digital currency. It's just that I don't see it as a medium of exchange. I don't see it being protected like it should be so that we can use it in a correct way where it's more like a cash and carry. Cash is king, not a chain of serfdom. And so there's a whole lot of distorted stories I've just thrown up. A couple here, excuse me, I did not throw up, but I put them up for you to read. There's a whole lot of different stories, and I wanted to put more, but because they all speak on a slightly different aspect that interested the author. I give you two. One has the ruling. You can go read it. I think it's important. I thought it was... Finally, what I've been saying, at least to start, there's a bunch more decisions that have to be made, white lines, so everybody knows that hasn't been happened until now. They apparently offered a new way to get at it, and the judge went with it, and the application of the Howey test here worked. So we'll see how long that lasts, but this is what has to happen. And I had another link, but it didn't work to give it to you. Part of this integration of a digital medium of exchange has to be put onto some truly deplatformed and de-anonymized or anonymized system. It's something that can't be de-anonymized. And there was a story that came through, but I found an alternative link. SimpleX, and I'm not underwriting this. I'm saying these are the directions we'll be looking for as they get better and better, the better for us. Maybe not now. Maybe they need some more massaging. But we look toward a digital currency that's not a security that we can exchange with people, and partly because it's not known, it's not being an investment that's been paid back to the exchange. We don't know who we're dealing with, in a sense, with it. But SimpleX is a chat network that preserves metadata privacy, and I just wanted to offer this as the potential melding these together. We can get truly anonymous, non-trackable mediums to share money. There are things that would be working as money. Will be a very important thing. One of the hiccups in all that is, how do you touch the system? How do you get it to cash? The cash is king thing. How do you get it there? Maybe someone has better information than I do. I don't really research it too much on how you actually give it, unless it just runs in a system that the exchange happens in, which I don't understand how you get anything out of it. How do you get something out of it? You're going to have to touch the system somewhere. So to me, it's got some questions, but completely anonymous, decentralized, not trackable, not traceable, no need for names or any of that stuff. This SimpleX is sitting there, I think last year it came out, messaging apps make it easy to communicate and connect people around the world. However, with the new ways to communicate, connect via technology, there are also new ways for your privacy and security to be breached. SimpleX is one of the most private and secure chat and application platforms that you can find out there. The main difference in SimpleX chat is that it does not use any form of identity at all for message routing, requiring the established initial connections either out of band or via some touch points that do not participate in the messaging routing. So the only way to build connections of SimpleX network is by observing IP packet times. And so people are really coming together to get rid of the things that make us unsafe and unsecure. I am not saying this may be the thing. I'm saying this is like a thing. Sounds really good that we were going to tie it to these cryptocurrencies if we're going to use them for people to transmit as a medium of exchange. I'm not saying they're superior or it's superior. I'm saying it becomes convenient. The convenience without the attachment to the global structure of governance, which is, to me, paramount to avoid. But no matter how you do this, no matter how anonymous you are, well, you're not going to be anonymous to the one that's talking to you. So be careful. A Canadian judge, thumbs up emoji means contract acceptance, orders farmer to pay. Be real careful, folks, especially, boy, in Kanukistan, to put a response and an emoji on something. I can't imagine what the other emojis actually mean. My problem with this case, and some of you may have heard about it, there was a farmer and a buyer for something, and there was a miscommunication. The farmer, I think it is, made a miscommunication. He threw a thumbs up on a request for a buy of whatever the thing the farmer was growing, and that was through the courts and deemed to be an acceptance. If you read what the explanation is, though, I find it very great fault. In fact, there was this problem. The acceptance was that the offer was to be decided on the farmer's side. The offeror said that the thumbs up meant agreement with the offer, and the farmer was saying, no, that just meant that I received your offer and I'll be considering it. The court does not decide that. And I think that's the failure in this case. It's a very dangerous outcome in my mind. You can be of a different thought about it. But when you look and see what there was no meeting of the minds on this actually when it came up. I don't even know if it would change the outcome in one regard. However, when an emoji can actually be the acceptance of the contract, when you meant it was just letting the other side know that you received the message and haven't decided on the offer, that is a dangerous, dangerous thing to have happen with this internet. Can you imagine your mouse not clicking quite right or you do something wrong? There's something a little off here. Anyway, I don't want to get too far on this. This is a fascinating little thing. Your little emojis now become a signature. They are now considered your approval. And so I just give us caution on the future to come, on how easy it's going to be to be pulled in somehow. As we move into that governance future, the digital realm, back to Russia, we thought that all this, 2 years ago, they were these folks in the financial sector and all these currency holders, these men, people that are in these instrumentalities for currency, global currency type things, the Fed, all those folks, were talking about, oh, we don't know anything about digital currency. Oh, it's that we're still considering it. And I told you they're lying. And today, look at this. Well, look at last week, Fed now in July for the big financiers in Russia. Russia outlines rules for digital ruble. This stuff is going through like a house of fire. This is not like they, as I said, they were lying to us when they said they didn't know what they were going to do with this. Testing of the new currency with clients will reportedly begin next month. It's kind of exciting in a way. I hope you can hear that. I look at this and go, wow, look at this stuff. It's just rolling right on out. They're just taking us down. How quickly they're doing it. Russia's central bank, again, central banks, published draft regulations for use of digital ruble on Wednesday as it prepares to launch testing on the new currency with clients. The draft sets out rules for transactions between Bank of Russia and the operator of the digital ruble platform and the system's users, according to a statement of the bank's website. And as I told you, Bitcoin may be out there, but it's going to be regulated somehow. It's going to be controlled, and you're going to have a much more free passage to the government-regulated currency. They're doing exactly that. They put a pressure. That's what my problem with the SEC jumping in too soon, and the crypto exchanges not protecting themselves or making the challenges. They were going to force, they're trying to, and now they're going to commodities. They'll force the private crypto into no man's land in a way, and they're going to promote their own. The document explains the types of digital wallets and procedures for opening and closing digital ruble accounts and the list of possible operations with the new currency. Again, Russia is on the cutting edge of the future they want. It's already happening, folks. Fed now is only doing the wholesale in the United States. Russia's already outlined. And Russia, it was telegraphing that when they put somebody in their tax, I can't remember how this actually worked, but they put somebody of high regard, some minister, into their tax system. He was to revamp that system, and that guy had the experience to pull this off. And I'm wondering if that's not how it started coming through. Now, we see just within a year and a half from denials, it's over already working into an exchange under government control. Just as I said they would do, the government does not like competition, and they want to keep track of it all. And even if they have a separate system, even Russia's cut away from SWIFT or whatever, they're still going to be integrated by the digital systems in other places. Russia state tech firm bans Apple. So, again, the governments can stop things from happening. If you want an Apple system, you have an Apple buck, and you're in one of these countries and they shut it down, you're done. And this is how they can balkanize, if you will, lots of the digital future in the governance. Russia state tech firm bans Apple. Rostec says the U.S. designed devices are now forbidden in all companies within the state corporation. Russia's state-run military-industrial conglomerate Rostec, military-industrial conglomerate, folks, right up front, just like the United States, at warp speed, has said its employees have been barred from using devices designed by the U.S. tech giant Apple. A complete ban is being introduced in organizations of the corporation on the U.S. of the gadgets from the American producer during the work progress. What they found was, according to Shavabes International internal papers, forbidden after Russia's Federal Security Service, FSB, uncovered a surveillance program carried out by the U.S. intelligence agency in Russia via mobile devices from the California-based firm. FSB said last month that the CIA had installed malware of thousands of iPhones used by Russian citizens and foreign diplomats working in the country. Apple has been, quote, providing the American intelligence service with a wide range of opportunities to survey any persons of interest to the White House, close quote, it claimed. Now, Apple has denied that. Point is, they are shutting down a whole product, a whole company from doing business in Russia. And this is tied again, phones, correct? Apple, phones, digital technology, the future, the coins, the currency, in favor of what we just saw Russia now doing, outlining how crypto will work in Russia and calling it a ruble, a state coin. But it's not just there. I told you the governments will be controlling this stuff. Bitcoin-friendly Belarus, where all those nuclear tactical nukes just went, Belarus, to tighten crypto controls. Minsk plans to ban crypto transactions between individuals. Now, this is all going to be jurisdiction by jurisdiction, so some of you be okay around the world. It's not going to be the same. The point is, this is the future they want is this governance, global control. Eventually, it gets there. Again, they take a long time to get what they want, and it works. It works very, very, very well. Belarus is working on an amendment to the crypto regulations that would ban the exchange of cryptocurrencies between individuals, the news outlet RBK reported on Sunday, citing a statement from the Belarusian Internal Affairs Ministry. Such transactions are in demand among fraudsters who thus cash out and convert stolen funds, transfer sums of money to organizers and participants in criminal organizations. When you get to global governance, your existence is criminal. So don't underestimate what they're saying here. And as I said before, your presumption of innocence is gone in the digital realm. It's not even you anyway. There we have it. Belarus is going to tighten the crypto controls, and we're sitting right there as a little brother to Russia. It can't be going too much different there. They're going to then, you'll be using in Belarus they could actually adopt the digital ruble, I suppose. Point is, it's got a government coin, if you will, a token citizen, token serfdom. Cash is king, tokens are serfdom. That's what's coming down in global governance that we are hearing in the news is being claimed that Moscow and China should lead. As we saw Xi Jinping saying and all those that just before he got elected, I was pointing all that out in the news. That his work with the UN, what the UN really is, it's all coming down into that future. It's pretty fascinating. And yet, here we have it, and this is where our importance as people have to start coming in. Civil liberties groups pushed back against EU digital ID proposals. The ability to do a crypto coin is nothing more than an identity to you by, or else how do you identify with it for the system under regulation that has to know the customer? How are you supposed to function in that? It's no different than this in the EU, where there is some civil liberties pushback, not civil rights. Remember, those are the exactions of every kind in the United States, equally applied. You're all colored people under the law. I wish people would get that. On the brink of the European Union's unveiling of the European digital ID, on the brink, folks, see how fast this happened? Just a year and a half, 2 years ago, they were like, we don't know what this is about. And I told you, don't believe them. Now, it doesn't mean nothing that I told you that, because it came on the point that we didn't do it. It's not affecting us. But now we see the Fed now, which is going to go into the Fed coin of some nature. A little glimpse that maybe private coin can work if you know how to work that, and then it has to be even more private, as I pointed out. There's still a glimpse. I'm not giving up. It's not in me to be able to pull it off, but I want people to know about this. The wallet's on the brink. The ruble wallet is on the brink right here. It's happening this month. For the European Union, the EU is attempting to bring this on. The collective of civil society groups, scholars, and research bodies are voicing their unease. They caution that the project might carry major risks for Europeans behind the tree, I suppose. This is my problem in this first paragraph. They caution. They're uneasy. No, folks, you have to have a lot more than just feel uneasy or queasy about this. This has got to be a major pushback, more than this dialogue that you might have, trying to persuade someone that you already are trying to feel uneasy with, that has a decision to make against you. And they'll make it. The EU member states have pledged a delivery of EUDI wallet to citizens by 2023's end. Swoosh, it's here, folks. The wallet is pushed as a way to smooth the process of accessing services like digital travel, driver's licenses, and bank and medical records. The who we want. Yeah, folks, right here. And then you think, oh, it's out over there? Yeah, let's reread this next story, how these things come together. DHS outlines digital ID initiative for, quote, travel, immigration and citizenship status, employment, residency status, and more. Where'd this all come from? It was a year and a half ago. We don't know what to do with all this. This digital ID is like your wallet. It's just your life. It's all under these ESGs, all in global governance. The United States, and this DHS is really seemingly to me to be the continuity of government. It's not the government at all. It's taking advantage. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security, recent unveiling of a $1.7 million initiative to foster the development of digital wallets will raise eyebrows among privacy advocates, while DHS's Science and Technology Directorate, the directorate, folks, ostensibly presents this as a privacy-preserving digital credentials wallet and verifiers. That kind of eliminated all the first part of that sentence, didn't it? Yes, VIP topic called the devil will be in the details. The plan is to use a system for travel, immigration and citizenship status, employment, residency status, and more. I've told you, residency is that product, is the servant of the district in the United States District of Columbia. They're trying to make it a 51st state. I guess they want to hide it some more. Anyway, same thing here in the EU and the DHS, right? Same thing. No difference across the world. That's global governance. No government. France passes bill to allow police remotely activate phone camera, microphone, and spy on people. How quickly this is just going on. I said, don't have a phone. It can't happen, correct? A bill that would allow police in France to spy on suspects by remotely activating cameras, microphones, including GPS of their phones has been passed. And I've told you in the past on this, PAST, that they can make up a crime about you and then come and find you. So you think I don't do anything wrong? I said, when you get into global governance, you can't do right. The bill allows a geolocation of crime suspects. And I don't know how it is in France. We're supposed to have protection in the United States that don't work, but I mean, I've heard it's a little different over there anyway, and I think Napoleonic law or the judge gets a hold of it first before you have any due process at all. Crime suspects covering other devices like laptops, cars, and connected devices, just as it could be remotely activated to record sound and images of people suspected of terror offenses, as well as the delinquency and an organized crime. Delinquency. You're all going to be delinquents. I can see this coming. And especially when Gaia gets her feelings hurt, you're going to be a terror, determined to be a terrorist, an environmental terrorist, folks. EU's mass censorship regime is almost fully operational. Will it go global? It has to. It's all the same system. As the question here, I'm answering it. It's already working globally. It's just not quite as integrated. And then they want to pretend that they're going to be fractured, and it's not. If the BIS is involved at all, it can't be for sure. And they want to look at every dime you do, right? I don't know why. What happened to those folks when they were kids that they want to do this to us? Government censorship on the public online discourse in the West's ostensibly liberal democracies has been largely covert until now, as revealed by the Twitter files. But thanks to the EU's Digital Services Act, it's about to become overt. And here we can read more again on this. Maybe I hope people are noticing this because it ends up infiltrating all aspects of your life. I've been talking to some people and it's astonishing to me how digital intrusions are already having to be accepted in stores and things like that. And so I don't have much, if you don't know about it, it's just going to come on you. You're going to have to do it, do what you're told to do, essentially, or you won't have, I guess. It's as simple as that. The commission has so far compiled a list of 17 large online platforms that will be the centers of the control most of them are from the U.S. that will have to begin complying with the DSA in 50 days' time. And this is, I think, the thing that Elon Musk was involved with that they bring on. And it's every big website you know is involved in these to start with. And so this is like the European Digital Privacy Act started. This becomes global because of its imposition through the internet. If you don't understand how quickly this can be controlled, the EU can supposedly control what you do, or certainly can control the companies through which you do, and they have these astronomical penalties that these companies have to start paying. Billions. Billions and billions. I can't even imagine the value. But we can read here, someone's put together quite a bit of work that I think is important for those of us that may need to see how this thing is working, how we're going to go move ourselves through the internet, and really what to avoid. To me, a lot of these things I'm not involved in. Like I have the Twitter, but it's really somehow useless. I don't really get much response. Nobody responds. I've got a few people, thank you very much for just a little bit that goes out. Appreciate that. That's for sure. But it's just, there's going to have to be a different mindset for all this. And it's going to have to literally be a privatization of things. Because these major governance systems are globalizing the response that, see, corporations have to follow. The EU mass censorship regime is almost fully operational, is a story I found with that story. Same thing from Zero Hedge, if you needed to read more and how that works for a different view. It's not just one place picking this up and it's talking about it. It is being picked up across the rounds to show us the embrace of global governance, the types of control. You thought you had rights in America? Not if you're tied to the internet through a company who's going to be subject to the EU. And then you have certain other folks that come on and kind of say that they are going to be free speech, as we hear in Twitter and Elon Musk, and yet he'll capitulate too. We have to watch this very carefully. Like I said, Elon Musk is very interesting. I appreciate a lot of what he does, I've been very interested in my life in some of the very same things that he's done. I can say now he's disingenuous, and that has to do with the BitChute and how they mistreated BitChute. And my content on BitChute happened to be everybody's content. And they changed some stuff around, and it looked like they were off allowing BitChute to come back on. But in actuality, they still throw the warning up. So they throw the warning on an entire BitChute platform, and they don't care about an individual, is what Twitter does. And so that free speech, open town hall stuff, I called called Elon Musk and Yak, whatever her name is, Linda, disingenuous. They don't mean what they're actually talking about. But Elon Musk says he'll match the law when it comes to free speech, this EU imposition. He likely has to. There's your global governance connection. Is it going global? Is it going to be global governance? Yeah, absolutely. Notice it's also in commerce, too. Here's what you need to know about the EU's new content regulations. Those of you in Europe, maybe you should know. In the United States, it's a lot of the American companies, so maybe you should know, too, on how this works. And I really think somehow people are going to have to look at this, that have the time to look at this, and consider, even if you're not that technologically savvy, maybe you have a systems analysis that can maybe start to point the way of how people will remove themselves from these global governance controls. And they're just these minority insanity people making policies that other people want to make money through those markets. So Elon Musk is going to, free speech now? No thing at all. He's going to have to comply. And remember, you might run, but you can't hide, Elon Musk, as he was first saying he was going to step out of the voluntary system. Remember, ESGs are voluntary. You watch how the club comes along and beats you like a baby seal. It's really fascinating. People aren't more impressed with it to run from it and move away or just stop it. Musk believes ESG is the devil, he says, and he's not the only one. No kidding. But this is only because when you read farther, his company, Tesla, a supposed green technology company, didn't do so well in the ESGs, how stringent they are. The environmental, social, and governance, ESG agenda, once had the staunch backing of billionaires, but now corporations are backtracking. I talked about that in the financial sector in BlackRock, in Vanguard. They're backing off. The standard creates a bad look, a bad optic when they can't meet it. And ESGs are strictly sustainable development. The 17 goals, ESGs are just 3 of those goals. Hidden behind that is the other 14 and then all the other things. And so this is all, again, all disingenuous. Corporations go for the money. They're going to go where they can go. They're going to do what they have to do. Musk couldn't meet the ESGs even though he's a green religion guy making an electric car. Just fascinating. I don't know what he's going to do with this methane rocket. Isn't that fossil fuel? Dem bones? No, see, this is all about a political. This is not about anything but a political transformation everywhere. It's a global connection to control. It's all in this environmental, social, and governance. You see, environmental, the first one, it's about this thing called, this fraud called climate change. And climate change is not about the weather. But here we have Elon Musk comes out to say that ESG is the devil. He's going to comply. They're either going to back off and try something else. It's all going to be as long as they can make a profit with it. And as soon as they can't, they're going to bail. And we saw BlackRock, would Fink, first one to say so, even though he's going to support it some more. Elon Musk didn't think anyone would actually agree to the AI pause he called for. And this starts to bring on my problem with these folks. I kind of like them. Like Robert Kennedy Jr., I like them somehow. But they're fronts for their own selfish causes, I suppose I can say. They stump a concept that they can sell to you. They're not true to what they're actually saying. They always have a hesitation. And when they get caught, they pussyfoot around until they get some amelioration to the statement, and then everyone goes to sleep about it. But Elon Musk didn't think anyone would agree with his AI. To say, we got to pause it, it's dangerous. And this guy has said it's dangerous. When are we supposed to believe this guy? I already found out. I called him disingenuous now. He's on a Twitter. It's record now forever. If you want to see it, I did it twice. I mean, how many times are you going to say it, though? I mean, I don't know what else. I'm going to pound on it. No one retweets it. Who cares? how, if he says that, that this is a, he made a comment that AI is dangerous, don't do it, let's put a pause, and he didn't believe that anybody would agree with him, how can you agree, how can you believe this guy, whatever he says? It's the problem with integrity. It's the problem with the, with us being weak. We have different agendas running. We can't be true. And then Elon Musk says this. Well, we got to put a pause on it. He says, Elon Musk said people, now why is this guy in the news? Why is this guy in the news? Why is he anybody? I just don't have quite figured it out. Why does he better, because he's got all the money, all the biggest debt in the world. He's the biggest debt holder in the world. Is that why we think he's so smart? Smart? Remember, I've talked about that. Elon Musk said people who don't think AI could be smarter than them are way dumber than they think they are. Now, I've been saying smart is not too intelligent. But this is if you take his non-serious input seriously, which he does believe you would actually agree with. That's how this guy's logic works. Remember, I've pointed out a couple of times, AI, it's artificial implementation. It's not intelligence. It's only smarter if it's going to employ global governance, SMART. For him to come out and say the AI could be smarter than them, what's the definition for smart? It's certainly not intelligence. What's smart? That they are way dumber than they think they are. When I've told you that when you put garbage in an AI, you get garbage out. When you put good information in, you're still going to get some garbage out. And I've proven that to you over and over. To say AI could be smarter is pretty a stretch, because it's not smart at all. It's certainly not intelligent. But it is a promotion. But this guy doesn't believe that you would actually believe what he's saying, remember? You're way dumber than they think they are. Boy, you know, I know AI is a magic tool, but it has to be used right. It's still going to need that intelligence. Right now, and I think into the foreseeable future, it's going to need the human touch. It's going to need human oh, I just insulted everybody, didn't I? Animal touch. No, it's mankind. It's going to be your conscience. Your spirit has to be brought to it. Your analysis has to be brought to the garbage that you're going to be handed and have to sift through. It's going to be a lot less garbage to sift through. Instead of a garbage dump to sift through, it may give you a dumpster bin to sift through, but it's still going to have to be sifted through. And yet this guy says it's smarter than, if we think it's not, can't be smarter than us. It's just more capacity, has more capability in certain things. It doesn't mean when it's at the end it has an answer that can be trusted. And then what is that answer? Whatever the programmer really refines it to say. And so smart, it might be smarter. I think any of these machines that move technocracy forward is smarter than me, because I'm not a technocrat. I'm also not a machine. So it can be smarter. I wouldn't say that it's not smarter, but SMART is a method of destruction. Man, enough here. This guy is really interesting in a way, how he promotes this stuff, how he makes it sound like he's not part of it, and he's pushing everything. As we pointed out, it's not hard to, when you look around, like Neuralink and all that. He's this hybrid humanimal thing coming forward to promote himself as a profiteer, and people exalt him. And in a way, it's partly disgusting, and a part of it, because now that I know that he's disingenuous, I don't have much worth for it. If he's disingenuous, what can he bring into the world that's really ultimately any good? And when you look at everything like a green electrical vehicle, that's a lie. It's an oxymoron. Can't happen. And artificial intelligence doesn't exist. And so we can believe it's there, like Prigozhin. You know, he doesn't exist because he's not legally recognized. Okay. Pull the plug on this. Internet rattled as AI-powered robots claim to be better leaders. Again, more and more promotion, all similar to what Elon Musk said. We'd not have put a pause on, but didn't believe that anybody would actually should actually believe him. Amid warnings of the potential dangers linked to excessively smart AI tools voiced by tech gurus and scholars, some of the most advanced humanoid robots were recently brought together at a global summit in Geneva, along with around 3,000 experts in the field to argue that the power of an artificial intelligence could be harnessed for good. Humanoid robots could potentially lead with greater efficiency and effectiveness than human leaders, a panel of AI-enabled machines has announced. The robots at the same time attempted to calm fears that they were out to take out anyone's job or rebel against the creators. However, they did have a discussion relative to that when asked whether robots could potentially be better in the role of leaders. The human social robot Sophia, developed by Hanson Robotics, responded, "Humanoid robots have the potential to lead with a greater level of efficiency and effectiveness than human leaders. We don't have the same biases or emotions that could sometimes cloud decision-making and can process large amounts of data quickly in order to make the best decision." Sophia went on, "AI can provide unbiased data while humans can provide emotional intelligence and creativity to make the best decisions. Together we can achieve great things." Let me just stop there. You can read this story. Together. You need the emotion. You need that side. You need the spirit tied to what the data, the digits will turn and tell you. And yes, the machine can run certain data much quicker than we can, but it doesn't make it necessarily smart. It requires the together. Why AI will never be alone and be a leader at all. It can only suggest, and it takes a mind that looks out into some comprehensive intelligence and applies the proper information that a machine allows, filters. And so I don't know where Elon Musk gets his tale that it can be smarter unless he's applying it to global governance. And he's all in on that. All in on that. J. Kerry Rowling blacks Elon Musk's cisgender ruling. The Twitter CEO had declared cis and cisgender would be considered slurs and cause for a suspension. The reasoning behind that is cis is ideological language signifying a belief. This is J.K. Rowling speaking here, writing. Cis is an ideological language signifying belief in an unfalsifiable concept of gender identity, she wrote in a tweet, continuing, "You have a perfect right to believe in unprovable essence that may or may not match the sex body, but the rest of us have a right to disagree and refuse to adopt your jargon." Musk responded approvingly to Rowling's tweet with the single word, "exactly." Well, I looked at that and I said, well, he's saying that cis and cisgender are considered slurs on the platform, and I wanted then to know my mindset. Ideological language signifying belief in an unfalsifiable concept would include the green religion and sustainability and climate change, wouldn't it? Unless the science isn't settled, wouldn't it? Well, heck, I think so, folks. So do you think he's going to cut out green religion? He's going to cut out the green religious sustainability, ESGs, because they're the devil, and maybe stop making Tesla cars because maybe it's not quite as green as everyone thought it was? How about stopping his methane rocket, which he lost the race. China just put one in space, which are kind of cool. Methane and oxygen, pretty neat. Do you think he's going to cause the climate change and sustainability ESGs to be a slur because it's a green religion that is not more than an ideological language? I don't think so. And so, again, we look at what they say. We apply what these folks say that are supposed to be so intelligent in the world. They're so smart he is. It makes no sense. And then we see what the someone with power can do. Yeah, I guess I'm on Elon Musk a little bit here. But people in positions of authority and whatever influence can do this kind of stuff. And this story here is, I am nobody, and he calls my employer? Elon Musk silences Tesla critics by deactivating Twitter accounts and reaching out to their employers. You can read this story. I won't waste too much more time on it, just to point out that this is how someone in control and power work, and it didn't seem to me that the your Fed coin when somebody was a, you became a critic in something that they wanted could deactivate your Fed coin account. No different. See, these people are the same, work the same methodologies. They're not as altruistic as we would think. So this is just, to me, evidence in the news of how this guy actually operates when push comes to shove. Oh, we can be joking and we can be intelligent somewhat and we can respond, you know, in certain ways, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we're so altruistic and well-meaning that we wouldn't just cut somebody out. And so all this delay that we're supposed to put on AI and all this stuff that you're supposed to put the pause must have been a time for Elon to run fast, run like the wind, to create his own company than he has now this week. What is, well, actually it was done in March, I think he said, just come to this before. What is XAI? I don't know. Is his son named X? And so we have a future XAI are coming. Elon Musk's new AI company, and will it succeed? Elon Musk has announced the new venture called XAI and plans to understand the true nature of the universe. And to that, fine, great, garbage in, garbage out, so we got to be careful. But so he was into the AI all along. It's his vision of AI that's going to come forward. He's putting that forward. All right? There's no pause at all here. And he was a part of the starting of OpenAI, which has gotten popular. But apparently his criticism is that now Microsoft has essentially monopolized that. But he's not stopping on the AI and because it's so smart, folks. He wants to know the nature of the universe, I suppose. Neat trick. But the AI, the programmer, isn't omniscient. So I don't understand, in some regard, where that goes. It's partly why I've kind of diminished a lot of what I used to be really involved and talk a lot about and investigate all this esoteric stuff. You know, it's just, that's cool. You get your mind working. That's neat. But after a while, I just start losing interest in that. There's really nowhere to go with it in some regard. And there was much more pressing things in the world. And I hope I talk about those that we need to pay attention to and hopefully make our world, our future world, better than what someone's going to make for us. Someone that can call our employer because we had a criticism against what he's doing. And this is, the world's full of these folks, apparently. Not so free speech. Pro-China Elon Musk endorses AI governance alongside China. And so we get down to the nubbins about this, and Elon Musk was over at China, but we have China warns no climate cooperation without others' U.S. concessions. Musk is American citizen and companies, and he's over there going for the money, a lot of big population, not India's, but China's. Except there's a problem with this. Musk's commitment to free speech isn't as dedicated as he would have us imagine. Musk has used his ownership of the Twitter to censor those who believes are treating him unfairly. Just wanted to point out again the control and where he goes. He went right to the country that is set in the world right now to be teaming up with Russia to be the leaders for the implementation of global governance. And Musk himself is vindictive at a point to not allow free speech and then to support climate change. Global, the ESGs, the thing he calls the devil, and what he would identify as an ideological problem as a slur. He embraces it where he goes and when he's trying to get favor from a market. And what about this climate change that they keep talking about? Well, we go look out in the world same time and same week that they're all promoting that we have to lower the temperature. Snow falls in Johannesburg first time in a decade. Locals have described the occurrence as magic and a big deal, with weather services issuing disruptive snow warnings. So not just to call your attention that it snowed in Johannesburg. It happens regularly, apparently, every 10 years, though. Not very much. And I'm sure it's kind of exciting when you haven't seen it, especially if you're young and never seen it for 10 or 12 or 20 years when it finally hits. But it happens. Snow falls in Johannesburg. Well, it's not global warming then, is it? Well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, because we just don't know. But this is what China is supporting, that we need to lower temperatures more. We want to make, I guess, Johannesburg should be a block of ice here to make it work, right? At the same week, we start finding what? Meteorologists fret unusually hot Gulf of Mexico waters are a hurricane powder keg. And I want you to listen to the explosive dialogue around this. So while Johannesburg is getting snow, we have hot temperatures in the north. Sounds kind of like a balanced environment, doesn't it? Water sensors across the region reached stunningly hot temperatures in recent days, with the temperatures around Florida Keys measuring between 92 to 96 degrees Fahrenheit and similar temperatures in littoral areas around the United States coast. Pretty warm. So that's boiling for them. More typically, it would be in the upper 80s, says tweeted Jeff Barandelli, the chief meteorologist and climate specialist at Tampa Television. Boiling, folks? That's boiling. And this is indicative of the sensationalism that goes on. That's not boiling. That may be hot. It may feel warm. Just underneath your body temperature and warm for an ocean. But we talked about El Nino, didn't we? We talked that was coming, and they knew this. That's not boiling, though. If this guy thinks that 96 degrees is boiling, it's no wonder why they think 1.5 degrees centigrade until 2100 is going to cook off the earth. Okay? This is how this propaganda starts. The 2023 Atlantic hurricane season officially began on June 1st and lasts until December. And while three tropical storms have been tracked so far more than a normal, none have reached hurricane intensity. Still, meteorologists have already warning that 2023 could be an overactive year for tropical cyclones fanned not only by the Pacific El Nino. Oh, this one's got an N-Y. It's actually pronounced El Nino, but a rare Atlantic or Dakar Nino named for the Senegalese city on the African coast where the warmer than normal waters can be found. Oh, they can be found. They're cyclic. They're just like El Nino. There you go. The Gulf of Mexico is like a powder keg, folks. Water like a powder keg. Boy, the propaganda never stops. This is how they start doing all this. You go through and you start reading about how this works, and you find that they want to say that 5 or 6 degrees can be boiling. A change 5 or 6 degrees at night underneath 100 that can be boiling. It's hard to contain one's alarm of a 1.5 degree over 2100, yet life goes on 125,000 years hence the last boil off like this. Remember those stories? I was talking about those before this, but they're in the news again. It's over and over. The Earth shatters 120,000 year heat record. Folks, it did it again. Further, more analysis on proxy data such as tree rings and ice cores indicates that the Earth's average temperature is not been this warm since the end of the ice age 20,000 years ago, folks. The current rate of warming has been unparalleled in the last 20,000 years. Unparalleled. Forever, folks. Remember last week's discussion? But with Earth's average temperature rising 1.2 degrees Celsius, 2 degrees Fahrenheit since the Industrial Revolution. Well, that's over the limit they said we were supposed to do by 2100. We're already there. But we're boiled off. But you know, you want to explain to me, this has been this warm since when? Since there wasn't any anthropomorphic contributions? Really? Well, then what about climate change now? No anthropomorphic contributions 125,000 years ago, and yet the temperature was that warm. It boiled off the oceans, apparently, by the meteorologist in Florida's Tampa's reference, doesn't it? The Earth's average temperature has not been this warm since the end of the Ice Age 20,000 years ago. It's been this warm before, folks. Greta? Similar to the temperature during the last interglacial period 125,000 years ago, if emissions continued unabated, the world may experience the hottest temperatures in over 1 million years by the end of the century. It's been this hot a million years ago then, hasn't it, Greta? And so, here's what's going on. So we're going to spend a trillion debt bucks, or more, trillions of debt bucks, to keep the temperature within a natural million-year variation. Yeah, that's not insane at all, folks. Not at all. A thousand-year rain event pummels New York Hudson Valley. And this is serious. I don't want to dismiss this problem. But a thousand-year event, folks. It happened before, 1,000 years ago, or roughly so. This is not anthropomorphic anything. This is nature, variations that are going on because of something that climate change, and Elon Musk will deny exists the sun, the very thing he builds a solar panel feature for to recharge his cars. He denies that big bright thing in the sky if he embraces all this stuff that he does in global governance. When are we going to give up with these guys, folks? I don't know. The sudden dramatic rainfall washed out sections of the highway and caused at least one death. And what I found fascinating about this was what they were warning about, and it was consistent with someplace else in the world that just happened. They were saying that they should avoid the warnings, or that they should avoid basements. They should not get in there. And what happened here just recently in Ukraine, when they broke that dam, people ran to their basements thinking that they were under shelling, and the dam came and flooded the basements and killed them all. Seems like a little bit of comeuppance for the United States. But 1,000 years, folks. Do you remember earlier in the year in California, the 1,000-year rains that hit the Sierras? The floods that went on in California? 1,000-year rains. This is the year for that. Pretty neat, huh? Oh, it's tied to El Nino, too. Nino. Pretty neat, huh? But it's been happening for 100,000 years, a million years back. It's tragic. Floods are nothing to mess with. Landslides will be nothing to mess with. The destruction is nothing to mess with. Things get, as it says here, literally swept away in an instant. And yet, it happens every 1,000 years. And it happens before there was a bunch of this political nonsense called sustainable development. The very same thing that Russia is putting in place digitally. The world, all the banks and central banks are now going to buy gold so they can kind of make it look like they got going, but they're going digital for you. You should be getting the gold or the silver. Not the system. And then if you want to use the digital, we need to find the privatized system. So my question to myself relative to the political transformation, get back over and talk about, we look at the Gaia as a religion, again, an ideological view that should be a slur in Twitter, which isn't yet, or isn't at all yet. Is this where we're starting to find out, finally, that it's a global warming Gaia or just Mother Nature? Because if global warming Gaia is a slur and it's a religious imposition, but we don't want that anyway. And we can continue to talk about all the science, but if we look at reality, the scientists become stupid. They become smart because they're on an agenda of consensus, not science. And they want that agenda to come forward because somewhere they're profiting from it. And we sit quiet and we allow it by not somehow pointing out even just simple facts to people. It also shows how ignorant, how well the school system, the state school systems are doing. That people don't understand how to put this together at all, it seems. They always tie, oh, this is about global warming. When if it's 1,000 years ago, there was no contribution. If it's 20,000 years, there's no anthropomorphic contribution. If it was 125,000 years ago, there's no anthropomorphic contribution. Do I have to say it? For a million years ago, it was hotter like today, and that isn't even as hot as it got, folks. That's the other lie in this. It got a lot hotter, surprisingly. And they point you out with all these ridiculous graphics now. Everything's in fuchsia, pinks, and reds, and you don't see yellows and greens anymore on the maps as they've been slowly turning up the heat in this powder keg on the Gulf. Ridiculous. And we buy into it. So, 100-year rain event, 1,000-year rain event in New York's Hudson Valley is the consistent with the 1,000-year rain event that happened earlier in the year in California, which means that we should not be listening to people that are promoting global governance that Elon Musk is going to Xi Jinping that's now been put on a pedestal, as I reported, before Putin was talking about that, and then now Russia coming together. all to promote this nonsense that reality doesn't exist. We're going to form reality, and we're going to expect you to believe, not believe that we're telling you funny stories and be surprised that you did believe us. And I want people behind the woodshed to not be that guy or gal. Put this stuff together for you and tell your, at least tell your little ones. Show them how this stuff really is being played up. I don't know why it's being played up. I don't know where this is going. I think I have to quickly go to the spiritual realm to work that out, because it makes no physical, there's no physical proof of any of this thing to work out that people buy into. It's strictly fairy tales. And the fairy isn't powerful. I mean, it's the same fairy tale that I keep telling you about. The fairy, let's say, in the Covey swindle. The fairy wasn't powerful. I just wrote an email just quickly on something like that. The creature that we envelop, that we create in our minds, that's the active member, does not, there's no power, and yet we give it power. These digital coins have no power. We're going to give them power. Our personas online are not real. Our re-representations through digital realms are not real. And yet people are giving over to them as they are. And in this, in the process of doing that, they're giving the technocrats all the ammunition, all the power to continue the control. In a way, I don't even recognize the world even now already. And I see lots of people trying to fight, but they're not resisting quite right because of the way the attack comes. Literally, I've got friends who run into problems where they just cannot get things done if they don't do essentially what the system, the government, or the store, or the corporation demands. And we see that, I guess, if you order stuff online. We're a society of people in flux. Shifts are being done, but don't lose sight on the fact that the end outcome ends up being all the same. I don't care what you think you are, who you think you are, the rights you think you have, the incompetence out there that feigns leadership and all this other thing. Despite all that, even the people that look good, despite all that, it is still heading into a direction. And I don't think we need to be on those tracks at all. I haven't thought that need to be on the tracks the whole time. When I started to read about it back in just before the 2000s, interrupted by the 9/11, which really was the trigger for bringing this thing, accelerating it all. Just as I told you, Operation Hindsight 2020. It's exactly on time, exactly on cue, and by a method. It's by a plan. I don't know what else to say, but people, we can say it, we can see it, we can say it, and the problem is we're not stopping it even so. And there's not a lot of us. And we don't support each other as well either. And it's difficult. So, I mean, there's a lot of things used against us that I hope we can overcome. I hope we can do what we need to do and keep ourselves protected. Main thing is keep local. What else can I say? Keep local. Start going to things that are tangible. Get away from the digits. Get away from the phone. Get away from the future they want. Make a conscious effort to tell others and show others. You don't have to get an argument. You just tell them, show them how the dangers of it. Hope they aren't jab harmed on the first half. Hope that if they're not jab harmed, they haven't been affected, that they still have a little bit of a thought in their brain, and give them the space to think about it. I didn't come over with all these ideas just overnight. It takes a lot of time to think through and work through sometimes. And then you got the experience of having to do it in order to work the questions out, so they don't become questions. So I hope I've said something today that helps you out. I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs or Nature Will.
Another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
That's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.